sound of those children crying and laughing and sometimes screaming, that's the sound of blessing for a congregation. Been in congregations before where some of the elderly complained about the noises that the children make. That's complaining about the future. We are greatly blessed in this congregation. We should be happy for those noises. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 16 chapter. We begin in verse 19 in just a moment. Good to see each and every one here. Those that are visiting with us, so good to see you. There are always, it is always the case, because man has choice from God, that you could be somewhere else. But your presence here speaks to your spirituality, your desire to hear God's word, to be like those that Jesus mentioned in his first sermon that he preached, that is in Matthew the 5th chapter. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. May we do that as we go through this particular selection that I have from Luke 16, chapter verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man that fared sumptuously every day, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Here we have a description, and it says a certain rich man. I'll not speak to the point whether or not this is a parable or an actual account. You can make determination of that on your own. But what is stated about this individual is certainly clear. It's very understandable. He was of the super wealthy. He was just not wealthy, but he was of the super wealthy because he was wearing the royal apparel, the purple and the fine linen. And not only that, but in a time in which he was living where people were doing their best just to eke out a living, not to starve to death, it says that he fared sumptuously every day. There was nothing at all that he lacked in his life. And we know of those in this life today, we know of those on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but I will tell you that that condition, that situation, is not going to play upon where he finds himself later on. It's not that. It just gives to us the indication of this man being super wealthy. It says, and there was also a certain beggar by the name of Lazarus that sat at the rich man's gate and was full of sores. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And wherever it says that in that particular scripture, we understand then that that was withheld from him by the rich man. We understand that by inference. And we also understand that this was not a man, I do not believe, by what we look at there in this account of him, that he made choice not to work. He couldn't work. He couldn't make his own way. He was destitute. And the type of illness or condition that he had was so bad he could not even protect himself from the dogs that would come up and would lick the ulcerated sores that were all over his body. He did not have choice about how he found himself in that condition. And it says then that it came to pass that Lazarus the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We understand there, of course, that Jesus is, as he's giving this particular account, that he's talking to those that are Jews. And so there would be an understanding of what he was saying. There would be a hope of what he was saying for all that were Jews. To us, as far as the understanding comes, he is carried into a place where there is absolute comfort, as we will see. He is in paradise. And he is comforted there, again, not because he was poor, because when you go back to that first sermon that Jesus preached in Matthew the 5th chapter, it says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. It doesn't say that there is salvation for people that are just poor, but rather poor in spirit and recognize because of their humility that they need their God. It then says, and the rich man also died and was buried. You notice it didn't say anything about the disposition of the body of Lazarus, the beggar. Usually in these situations, there was a fire pit, a dump ground outside of cities. And more than likely, because of the times, history tells us that those that were destitute in such a way Their bodies were disposed of in that fire pit, in that dump ground. But it says about the rich man that he was buried. I'm going to suggest to you, because the first part of what we read in verse 19, there was a rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, that was not just a procession to the burial grounds, but it was with pomp and circumstance. And our society today does much of the same. Presidents we have seen, some of us have seen, who have passed from this life, we see the pomp and circumstance in burying them. But not only that type of pomp and circumstance, but because of his position in society. It's much like many of the funerals today, I'm going to suppose, where all the good is remembered, not one thing that is bad is remembered, that somehow the preacher at the funeral preaches that person into heaven, no matter what it is they have done, no matter how they have rejected and rebelled against God. More than likely, it was that sort of funeral. I read online where, I believe it was Twitter, had made a decision about posting a statement by the family, an obituary that was written concerning their father and their mother's husband. And it was probably the most honest statements I've ever made about a person in his situation. He said, at the end of it, the family said, "Evil does get repaid." And what a shame that is, for that to be the idea. But here you have, I believe, the opposite of that, where evil is not repaid in the sight of men in the time of remembrance of this individual. Lazarus died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But we see that it also says, after the rich man was buried, and in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Not here to discuss this morning about the terminology Hades, how it's used in the Bible and all that. Beside the point, we need to look at the lesson that is presented in what Jesus is giving us here. He is not there, that rich man is not there because he was rich. As a matter of fact, you look back in history, and many of those that God had chosen and many of those that God was with were very wealthy individuals. He was not there in torment because he was wealthy. He was there for another reason, and we will see that reason as we continue on. Just as the beggar was not there because he was poor, but rather he looked to his God. And being in torment, it says, the rich man lifted up his eyes and seeing Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, cried out and said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus over that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames." I'm not here to discuss whether there are flames in the eternal realm. That's not about this lesson. It's about there is absolute agony, and he recognizes that, and just some moment of relief would be the grandest thing for him, and he needs that, he wants that, and he cries out for mercy. And then comes the two most profound words that we have of a person that is in this particular situation. "Son, remember." It could be that the degradation of hell is caught up in those two words. "Son, remember." That you in your lifetime, you had good things. You prospered, you were clothed in purple and fine linen, you fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus, he had evil things in his life. He begged for the crumbs that you withheld from him. He sat at your gate day by day where you could have helped him, and you chose not to do that. He could not care for himself, and moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He could not even escape that torture that he was going through in his life. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And Abraham then says, and besides all of this, there's a great gulf that is fixed between us. The indication, of course, of what Jesus is giving there is the thought that destiny is set for you and it's set for Lazarus, and where you are, we cannot come, and where we are, you cannot come. Your destiny is set for all eternity in the condition that you are in without mercy because you rejected mercy from God. And we see that that rich man accepted and understood his condition. He says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back from the dead. I have five brothers that are still living on earth. Send him back to warn them not to come to this place." We can see, evidently, that the whole family had that particular attitude of rejection and rebellion against God and trusted in the things of this world. They trusted in that. And we also see that there is an absolute in connection with those, no matter where you find yourself, when time is over for us, that they want to make sure, especially if they are in that place of torment, that no one else comes there. They're worried about their family. They have remembrance of that. I have those five brothers. They are headed to this place because I know them. That's the way that we were raised. That's the way that we were thinking. Warn them not to come here. Do something special for me. Do something that is out of the ordinary. And Abraham replies to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." They have God's word, just as you did. Let them take God's word to avoid the place that you are in. Let them take God's word and render obedience unto God, because that is how you avoid the place that you are in. Let them do that. And we could say the very same thing today. Not in connection with the Mosaic Law, but in connection with the new covenant that we have. They have the gospel of Christ Jesus. And that is given in order to not only avoid that degradation, that torture, that terrible existence, but also to be received into the glories of heaven with the Father of all. And he cried out and said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one returned from the dead, surely they would hear him." Remember, this is Jesus that is doing the speaking in this account. And just about 3 months earlier, in John the 11th chapter, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Just a few months prior to this account in Luke the 16th chapter. And whenever you look at that, you think about what it was that the rich man was asking for, something special. But you see, something special has already been given for each and every one of us. That is the death of Christ Jesus upon the cross. That is the resurrection after he was buried and was in the ground for 3 days, that he came forth, that he was seen and upon the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven where he continues to work for us. And the rich man says, "Surely if one returns from the dead, well then they will listen." And Jesus answers and says, "Though one return from the dead, they will not listen." How did he know? 3 months earlier, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. From that very point forward, the plan was, number one, to put to death Jesus Christ. And number two, in John the 12th chapter in verse 10, not only put to death Jesus Christ, but to put Lazarus to death because he was testimony against the Jews and for the cause of truth, Christ Jesus. And that thought still continues today, doesn't it? One has returned from the dead. And there are so many that do not believe. And we see it mocked at in Scripture. Whenever the mention was made about the resurrection of Christ Jesus, whenever Paul taught at the seat of knowledge of the world, and I'm talking about the knowledge of men, in Athens, Greece, in Acts 17th chapter, when he comes down to the end of his sermon, and he mentions the resurrection, it says, "And some mocked." And I'm going to say, many mocked. I say that because Jesus has said, many are called, but few are chosen. They mocked at the hearing of the resurrection from the dead, which is not a stretch for deity whatsoever. As a matter of fact, Jesus had shown that forth three times prior to the raising of Lazarus. He had raised others from the dead also. And we see it in the Old Testament, where there were those that were raised from the dead by Elijah. And so we understand that that is not a stretch for God to accomplish. And there we have, as it comes down to the end of that chapter, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead, and the Jews proved that. Even before they went into the action themselves of putting Jesus to death, they had already proved it by their attitude and by their plans. Here we have this account, this parable, you decide, that is given to us about our determinations, our choices that we make here upon this earth. And we can live for the moment, and we can live for the merchandise that we collect, we can live for ourselves, for our desires, and we can have all of that, and we can fare sumptuously every day. We can do that. And we can go against what the Lord said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Stop right there for just a moment. After that rich man's death, things would not continue on as they were. Number one, all that he had would be someone else's. And as time goes on, the riches of this earth become derelict. All you have to do is look at some of the places that are abandoned upon this earth where there was great wealth, great pomp, great circumstance, and even take Jerusalem itself, where stood the temple that had been built by Solomon, rebuilt again, of course, in the days of Herod, was standing when Jesus was there, and on the very place where it was standing, that was his house under the Mosaic law, there is now the Dome of the Rock Mosque standing on that site. And it is because of rejection and rebellion by God's people. And the antithesis of what it was built for is now being done on that site by those that enter into that mosque, who deny the true God of heaven. Let me just say very briefly, and I have a lesson on this for some time later, Allah is not the God of heaven. He is not the God of heaven. And so things become derelict as time goes on. And going back then to Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we look at verse 20, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where rust and moth doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And then the reason given in verse 21 as to why that rich man found himself in torment, in those flames as it is described, and set for eternity, it's in verse 20, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I don't know about you, but taking these accounts that Jesus spoke, something that's so well known, I didn't say one word that none of you have not heard before about this particular passage of Scripture. I'm sure of that. And let me say, I'm proud that I didn't say something that you hadn't heard. Because you see, these simple truths are where we always go back to. For a foundation to understand that we need to serve the living God. And when we do that, joy unspeakable, unrelatable, is given to us if we do not rebel against our God and reject His will for us. And we see the hope that is there. There is no indication whatsoever that there is anything negative in the existence of Lazarus for all eternity, where it's exactly opposite for that rich man. And the blessings of God are shown upon those that seek after God. I'm not ashamed. Remember, Jesus talked about scribes. And the scribes, and he talked about it in a good sense. They bring out things that are old, and they also bring out things that are new. And I'm not ashamed to go back to those things that are old. And the reason being, just as Peter said, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them. There's comfort in these scriptures that we know so well. And we need to be reminded about them from time to time. We need to be reminded of them because of the hope that has been laid out for us through the death of Christ Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. So that we understand that, yes, there are a lot of things that are taking place in this life that are horrible. The weather is horrible here in Texas. That's not anything new. Conditions are horrible in society. Monetary-wise, conditions are horrible. But you see, just as Lazarus did not fixate upon his condition and situation, neither should we. What we do is focus rather than fixate. We focus on the hope that is set before us, on the promises that have been given for the joys of heaven that await if we remain faithful to Him, just like that beggar Lazarus, because he was in that place of paradise, because he was a follower of God. Maybe those here this morning that are not followers of God, if not, render obedience to Him. Come to Him with a penitent attitude in faith. Come to Him naming His name. Come to Him to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come to Him so that you would have that hope of joy when this life is over. Come to Him. And then those of us that are here, remember that whole account dealt with two Jews, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them Jews. Those recognized, at least as the world would recognize them, as children of God, but one was found in torment because he fixated on the here and now rather than the hope of what was to come. And let us not do that. Let it not be in trusting in things of this life, but rather let it be in hope of the glory that has been given to us by our Father in heaven. We have the gospel through the prophets and the apostles, the foundation being, of course, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Here, we, them. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and say. Thank you.